Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
A man who lived with integrity, and I'm really excited about the next few weeks. I've had this on my heart. I want to talk particularly about living a life of honor for Christ and living with integrity. That means being honest and doing what's right in spite of the times when our situation is difficult, living in the shadow of the cross, if you will, a life of no compromise. There are so many people that compromise. They compromise their integrity and their values. But tonight, I want to give you the backstory. You know already that Daniel and the three Hebrew children, that they were Jewish young men who had been taken into captivity into Babylon. Actually, I'm going to talk to you about how many were actually taken tonight. But I want to say something to you so that you can never forget this. They were taken into captivity by the Babylonians, but they were never really captives. I want to explain this to you because, let me explain to you why. I'll say that again. They were taken into captivity by the Babylonians, but they were never really captives because they were never captivated by the things of Babylon. So they were never really captives. And I want to tell you a little bit, teach a little bit about the word captivity, captivated, because to be captured, have you ever heard the term they were captivated, he was captivated by her smile, or he was captivated by her charm? That word also means to be either taken by force or trapped or seduced, but the word means taken. Captive is someone who is taken, but they were never taken by the things of Babylon. They were captured, but they were never captives because they never allowed themselves to be captivated by the things of Babylon. Because Babylon had a lot to offer. The most dangerous type of captivity will always be friendly captivity. When you think they're your friends, hear me, and they're not, they have an ulterior motive, but they're trying to captivate you and seduce you into doing wrong or enjoying things you shouldn't enjoy. So we're going to talk about that tonight, living a life of integrity. And I've heard many powerful testimonies in my day. I've heard testimonies of former witches. Pastor Ken and I talked yesterday about the girl Andrea in Mexico, and he shared a little bit about that. I've heard testimonies of people who were former murderers, drug dealers, been in prison for 30 years. In the Bible, there's the conversion of Saul. There's these, what you would consider to be great and powerful testimonies. But in my heart of all hearts, I believe that the greatest testimonies you read in the Bible or that people live today are the testimonies where someone received Christ in their heart at a very young age and they lived consistently for Christ throughout their life until the time of their home going. That's a powerful testimony. That's a powerful testimony. Now, I'll tell you how few people that includes. And that's not to discount anyone's testimony, by the way. But in the Bible, unless you can tell me differently, and there are some powerful testimonies, there are actually only four people that are recorded that actually lived for God from the time they were very young until the time of their death. And they were, I'm going to list them for you, Joseph, Daniel, Mary, and Samuel. Joseph, Daniel, Mary, and Samuel. And we're talking about Daniel tonight. These people lived with integrity, and it is recorded from a very young age. And by young, I mean 12 and through to the time of their home going. And I think that's amazing, don't you? And I wanted so badly in my heart to include King David, but for obvious reasons, I can't. I can't because I'm going to be talking about Daniel tonight, and telling you that we find no dirt on Daniel. If he was going to become a politician, there's no dirt to be found on him. But David, you just didn't make the cut. Not tonight. You're a great king, Israel's most beloved king, a man after God's own heart, and I appreciate that. But thank God for the cross, right? For all of us, because maybe we don't have that testimony tonight, right? I don't have that testimony that from the time I was 12 years old or 11 years old, I grew up in a Christian home, and here I am a pastor planning on going home with God someday. Not quite. Not quite. I'm a little more like David. A little more like David. So we need to honor these men and women in the Bible who did live for God with integrity. So I'm going to talk about him tonight. At around age 12 to 14, we don't know how old, Daniel was taken into captivity into Babylon. And although he was taken into Babylon, he was in Babylon. He never let Babylon get in him. And this was not a place where it was popular to serve God. No one in Babylon served God. They served idols. They worshiped idols. They did not worship the one true and living God. And it was, in fact, it became dangerous to be someone who worshiped God in a place where everyone else worshiped idols. And that's where Daniel lived until he was well into his 80s and 90s. Now, I want to tell you something unusual about Daniel. Daniel actually served and worked under four wicked kings. I'll name them for you. I just named four great guys. Now let's get the evil guys out here. Nebuchadnezzar, whom Daniel interpreted his dream. Belshazzar, the king who experienced the handwriting on the wall. Darius the Mede, Daniel in the lion's den. And Cyrus the Persian. So he served under these wicked Babylonian kings, and he served well. He served with integrity, and also he was a light, too. He never mistreated anybody. He never harmed anybody. He told the truth at all times, even when it was inconvenient. But make no mistake, this wasn't an easy task. You're a Christian, and you work for four wicked kings. So I want to say to you tonight, if you're ever called to, maybe you think your boss is like wicked, 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 but maybe I submit to you that God has allowed you to serve under that wicked king. Maybe there's a reason and a purpose for it that is known only to your God, that you don't know yet, as of yet, what God might want to do, because do they not even deserve to see the example of the gospel and be told the truth of the gospel? And who's going to do it except some man or woman who lives with integrity and honor? You don't want to send somebody, do you, on a mission that's going to go in there and be... God was sending Daniel and these three Hebrew children as ambassadors. Do you understand that? He was sending them forth as kingdom ambassadors into another kingdom. God sends them because you don't send somebody who doesn't live with honor, who's going to go out partying. I've heard stories. I heard a story long ago, and I probably have used this example, of someone from our country who went to another country as an ambassador and got arrested, and it was in the news, and it was like the whole nation was up for grabs. You want to send somebody who's going to be a faithful ambassador, right? Someone who's going to get the job done and represent you well. And so that's why, if you want to know why did God send Daniel and those three Hebrew children, well, that's why. I'm going to send the cream of the crop. And believe me, they did. Even the king knew. They knew when they took them in, they're getting the cream of the crop, by the way. And it sounds crazy, but this is how the world chooses people. So I'm gonna tell you this. I want to mention that they took of the royal family, but they took a lot of other people too. But I want to mention that not every royal kid got chosen, even as a hostage. Now you might think you're not even good enough to be a hostage. Maybe, maybe not. But if the world, you know, I'm serious. They said they took only the best of the royal family. I thought royal family was the best. But they only took the best of the best. And so the Bible mentions that the good ones had a very wonderful countenance, a very wonderful, it seems crazy. They were looking for hostages that were pretty, that were handsome. And seems kind of crazy. I need some good-looking hostages over here to drag off. But isn't this how the world chooses? They choose by appearance, don't they? Second step. Are they educated? Are they wise? I need a hostage over here, somebody smart, somebody really wise and intelligent. So they had to be educated people from the royal family, good-looking people, intelligent people. And the goal was, now I want to tell you something else. And I think I've said this before, but I know I'm repeating myself, and that's how we learn. So here's the situation. At the time, there were three waves of captivity. And at this time, altogether, there were 4,600 men that they counted, approximately, that were taken into captivity. If, and the theologians, some theologians assume also that there were women and children, that would total somewhere around 17,000 taken into captivity. And of this amount of people, how many people do we hear of in the Bible that served God and lived with integrity? If we're counting the men, 4,600, four out of 4,600 that we hear of, and there is a reason that we don't hear of the others. We're hearing of the people who stood up for Christ, who stood up for God, who did what was right, who honored their God. The rest of them, possibly, probably, Babylon was successful in capturing them, and then they got captivated by Babylon. They weren't locked in cells. Do you understand that? When they were taken to Babylon, they didn't put them in the slammer. They wanted them to be assimilated into Babylonian culture. They wanted them to become, in essence, Babylonians. They wanted to come on over here. You're our captives, but we're going to treat you well. We want to show you our idols. We want to show you the good stuff we have. You can become one of us. Now, one of the reasons, by the way, and I've studied this thoroughly, that they took primarily the royal family to be hostages, to be the ones that they would, you know, exalt and the ones that they kept an eye on. They took many, many, many of the royal family. In fact, probably most of the royal family, history tells us. So the good looking, unless you were ugly, then you got left behind, or you weren't smart, then you probably are. You're probably still, you're safe. You're safe. If you're ugly and you're not smart, you're safe. But the rest of them over in Babylon, think about it like this. Why would they take all these people and capture them and bring them over into Babylon? Do you know that was a smart move? Because the people of Jerusalem, Judea and all, they're not going to attack now, because guess who's over here? Your family's all over here. Your brothers, your sister, your kids are in Babylon. You better leave them alone. We don't want to cause any trouble, so here they are. And there's no plan for this at the moment. So another interesting, but here's the thing. I want to tell you that Daniel had a gift from God. And the Bible says in Daniel 5:11, Daniel was found to have insight, which is in this interpretation means common sense. You had common sense and intelligence and wisdom like that of the gods is what they thought about Daniel. They literally compared Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar's leaders, to one of their gods, because Daniel had a gift from our God, from the one true and living God, and it was the gift of dream interpretation. Now, I don't know anybody who specifically has that gift. I've been able to interpret dreams a couple of times in my life. I wouldn't say I have a gift at all. I would say God just, you know, helped us interpret. And many others the same, but I don't know anyone who has a specific gift and can just do this on the regular, okay? Even Daniel at one time, by the way, had trouble interpreting a dream that he had, but I'll go into that later. But the Bible talks about so many people and their failures, and I want to talk to you, of course, about Daniel's integrity. The Bible specifically mentions the incident with that Abraham had with Hagar, you know, Abraham-Hagar thing, and not a good thing. Moses struck the rock, and when he was banned from going into Canaan after all those years, he was banned. David committed adultery and murder also. Noah, drunk, naked, but Daniel, nothing. We got nothing on Daniel. There's no dirt. Can you tell me something that Daniel did wrong? One thing. Just name it. Call it out. Anything. No. if he was going to be elected for office, there's no dirt on him. In fact, when his political opponents tried to get some dirt on him, their only option, they had one option. It has to be, we got to make it illegal to obey God. There's only one thing that he does. He lives for God. Unless you're going to make prayer illegal, Bible reading illegal, telling the truth illegal, you got nothing on Daniel. So they really had trouble because Daniel was clean, clean living. Wow, wouldn't it be great if that could be said of all of us? We just live with honor. We just live with integrity. We're not out there doing anything sneaky, wrong, lying, cheating, stealing, running around. We have common sense about us, and we love our God. What a great testimony. Now, another interesting fact that we're going to have to visit and talk about in a bit is the fact that Daniel was eventually made the overseer of the pagan magicians of Babylon. Now, how is that? One minute you're a hostage, and the next, you know, very not too much down the road, you are now an overseer, and you're the boss, you're the supervisor of the pagan magicians. How do you think that went over? How well do you think that went over? I thought you were a hostage. I didn't know you're my boss now. How did that happen? That's God. That's God. That's called promotion from God, even if you're in Babylon, right? God can still promote you even if you're living in America, even if you're in a nation that doesn't fear God and there's idols all around you. God can still promote you, and God can still use you in the kingdom. So we're going to talk about this. Living for God even when it's inconvenient, living in good times for God and hard times, even when we're persecuted. And when I say persecuted, I don't mean your best friend doesn't like it. I don't mean you get made fun of at work. That's not persecution at all. That's inconvenience. I want to begin by telling you what the definition of Babylon is. It means chaos and confusion. That is actually what Babylon means. Babel, chaos, confusion. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. I really do think we live in a modern-day Babylon, a lot of babbling going on, I would say, and I would say a lot of chaos and confusion. And I love the story of Daniel. I've heard it all my life. I've heard it since I was a little girl, even though I didn't live for God as much as I should as a little girl. I've heard this story all of my life about a man who did. And I know how the story turns out. I've known it since I was maybe 8 years old, that Daniel got saved from the lions. But Daniel didn't know how the story turned out. And I know how it turns out, but I know you got thrown to the lions, Daniel, and you were saved by God. But I know you didn't know that you were going to get thrown to the lions or that you were going to get saved by God. And eventually all he knew was one thing, I'm going to be thrown to the lions, in the lion's den. He had no idea what would become of him. So I want to say that right in the beginning, but I want to say something else. The same God that delivered Daniel from the mouths of the lions, Satan roams about seeking whom he may devour. He's hungry. He wants to eat somebody alive. He wants to take you out. That same God that saved Daniel from the lions is still saving us from the lion. He really is. The lion of the tribe of Judah saves us from the mouth of the lion who's seeking, roaming about, trying to get a hold of you and I to steal, kill, and devour each of us. But he cannot, just like he could not Daniel. He'll shut the mouths. He will also do the same for you and I because we belong to the one true and the one living God. And the same God that Daniel served is the God that you serve tonight. The same God that Daniel served is the God that I serve. And he will do for me what he did for Daniel or anybody else in the Bible. But Daniel did live a set-apart life. He was definitely different. The Bible tells us that we're a peculiar people. There's nothing wrong with being peculiar. It just, the word means different. We're a strange people because we're strangers living in this land, right? He was not an ordinary captive or prisoner, and Babylon was not even ordinary captivity. Normally, when you're captured, you go to prison, you go to jail, you go into a cave, whatever, or they cut your head off or something. They don't give you a nice house, a little apartment. Welcome to Babylon. And that's basically what was going on here in a manner of speaking. So The word captivity, again, it really means to be captivated by someone or something. And here's my prayer. May Babylon, or the world, if you will, and its treasures and its riches, anything here, never captivate my heart. Only Jesus. May Jesus captivate my heart. Only Jesus. May I never compromise my integrity so that I can have the things of the world or please the people of Babylon either, or the king of this earth. May, if you were ever called upon to talk to the president or anyone else and tell the truth, you should be prepared to do that and not be captivated by like, oh my goodness, this is the president, this is somebody. So Daniel 1:8, but Daniel purposed in his heart, and I promise I'm not going to keep you long tonight. I have purposed that in my heart because we're going to be coming back and I've got so much stuff. But Daniel 1:8 says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And I want to say this, that do you know that the world takes notice the minute we decide that we're different? The minute when we set ourselves apart and say, no, I can't be a part of that gossip. No, I can't be a part of this party. I can't go there. The world notices immediately, and so do other believers, that we are different. When we begin to stand out, when we take a stand for God. And everything about Daniel was favorite because he had the favor of God on him. And I want to say something else as we continue. Don't let the hard times change who you are. Don't let them affect who you are one bit. Don't let the false accusations or the fiery darts or any hater or anything like that. I hate that term, but that's what it is. Don't let them affect who you are or change your stand for God. Verse 9 says, now Daniel, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. You know what? It was God who gave Daniel favor. Favor comes from God. Did you know that? I don't want to be anyone's favorite but God's. I don't want favor from you or anyone else. You know what I mean, respectfully. I want the favor of God on my life. And it, especially this touched my heart because having favor with God and of God, from God is very, very important. But it doesn't mean that you will never have any enemies or that you will never be opposed by anyone. But I will say that if God is for you, who can stand against you? Every single plot, every plan of the enemy is going to fail. No weapon will prosper. No poison will harm you. Even if the snake bites you, the poison will not harm you. You are protected by God. Never underestimate the power of living a life of integrity. And one more thing. With Daniel, a life of prayer. A life of prayer and a life of integrity. Daniel was a man of prayer. So there is power in prayer. And Daniel was hated for no reason other than he was a man of God. And he honored God and had God's favor. Daniel was hated basically for the same reason that Joseph was hated. Remember that the Bible said his brothers hated him because he had the favor of God and the dream for the dreams that the favor of the father and because of the dreams he had. Daniel was hated because he had the favor of God. And everyone, again, will not celebrate you because when wonderful things happen because you serve God. Oh, look what God has done in my life. It doesn't mean everybody. In fact, there are some that are going to be envious of you. They're going to be jealous of you. Why do you never have these things happen? It's because the favor of God. But I want to say that Daniel, the first thing he did was purpose in his heart, not what he would do, but what he would not do. Sometimes we know what we're doing. I'm living with integrity. But sometimes what we do not do is very important too. There are some things that I absolutely have to draw the line and say, that's a no for me. That's a hard no. I can't do that. I cannot defile myself. Now, I liked that what he said, that he purposed he would not defile himself. If I am defiled, it's likely because I did it myself. Right? I partook of something I shouldn't. And I think it is so cool that Daniel began with such a simple thing. He began with, I'm just not going to eat what's on your table. Now, there is a message there. I eat from this table. I eat from the Lord's table. I eat from the Word of God, the bread of life. Let me tell you something. Watch what table you eat from and what you are willing to partake of. It's the daily decisions we make to honor God. I will do this. I will not do that. And just like we were sharing last night, Emmy had brought out in her message something that I had shared that we all share around here now, is that when you forgive someone, I believe that you need to choose to do that in advance before they do something to come against you or to harm you. Otherwise, in the heat of the moment, your emotions will get the best of you and you will not be prepared to forgive, offer them forgiveness. But if you've chosen in advance, I will forgive them as an act of my will. I may not be able to have a relationship with them, but I believe the same thing happens with living for God. We really need to set a standard for ourselves. Can I say it like that? We need to make a decision. I write things down. This is what and many of you know what some of my guidelines are. I've said it before. I don't ride in cars with men who are not my husband or my brother, or I just don't do those things. Avoid the very appearance of evil. I don't partake in alcohol, and I'm not saying it's wrong. I've been accused of saying this before. I am not saying it's wrong for anyone. I'm saying it's wrong for me because the Holy Spirit's convicted me of that. He's convicted me of to set my standard higher. There are shows on television that I know that people can watch. Like, let me give you an example that's a minor example. It's an example of shows where someone's being hurt. Like, I seen a show about slavery years ago. And I seen people being harmed and beaten. I can't watch that kind of stuff. I know it took place. I know it happened. It grieves my Holy Spirit. I can't watch abortions being performed. I cannot do that. There are people who can, and maybe they need to see that to know. Maybe that's something that will help them in their ministry to understand this. But for me, I just want my spirit to be tender, and we all have different standards, things that you cannot do. Maybe you can. Maybe you're okay to ride in a car with someone. I'm not. Am I someone weak? No, I'm not at all. But I understand the word of God. So we need to set a standard. And that's what Daniel was doing. In my daily life, I'm not going to partake of this. So let me. And he was able to stand the test. So he may have been a captive, but he really wasn't, because he wasn't captivated by those things. And let me tell you something about the king's table. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I'm just going to drink water and eat grapes. Can you imagine what was on the king's table? You are looking at chocolate cake and pies. You are looking at barbecue here. You are looking at hot, warm breads. No, thanks. I'll just have a cantaloupe over here. I'll just have a little watermelon, maybe, and water will be my beverage. Well, there's Diet Coke over here and iced tea, and there's lemonade over here and stuff. And he said no. No, he said no to being different. And I think that he was doing that for himself as much as anybody else. But they took note of this. They all took note of this. But one of the things that I wanted to talk to about a moment was that verse where it says that now God brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. I love that verse because God gave Daniel so many ministries. First of all, he was going to be a light of integrity to the kings and to the people, the leaders of Babylon. But also there were some very broken people in Babylon. And these were the eunuchs who had been physically harmed and they were broken. And sometimes it's the broken who minister to others who are broken. So the eunuchs cared about Daniel because, why? Because Daniel cared about them and they were tender towards him and he was tender with them. You know, that's how we should be when ministering to broken, hurting people. And he's going to have favor with them also, which is very, very important. But Daniel is going to withstand some testing in his life. Can I say it like that? Daniel is going to, in the next few weeks, we'll look at this. But Daniel is going to be tested in some of the same areas that we're tested in. How he handles adversity. How do you handle it? How will you handle it if you're about to be thrown into the lion's den? Will you cave? Will you change your mind? Will you sing a different song? How do you handle adversity? And when you're first taken into captivity, you're also going to be tested. How do you act when you're promoted and when you're invited to, when the king puts the table on and says, come on, come on, you can eat of my table, when you're promoted? So how do we handle prosperity? And how do we handle when we are falsely accused? And when in a time of opposition, how do we handle those things? It's not always what happens to us. It's how we respond to what happens to us. What is our response? Can we live for integrity when we're prosperous? If I win the lotto, can I really live with integrity? Will I live with integrity? If all hell breaks out against me and all adversity comes against me, will I still live for God during that time? What if I'm falsely accused? Will I still live for God? Or will I just say, okay, that's it? When I'm persecuted, all of those are the great test of life. When I have little and when I have much, will I still? And wouldn't you love for your testimony to be so intact and such an honorable testimony of integrity that your children and your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren would talk about how you always loved God, you were always tender with those who were broken, you always honored God, and you stood for the truth even in front of kings, and you did what was right. And Daniel had these three friends, and I absolutely love that too, because they were four children. And by the way, I have to tell you, when I say children, the four Hebrew children, they were children. They were children. We are talking between 12 and 17 years old, all of them. And verse 17 says, as for these four children, all under the age of 18, God gave them knowledge and wisdom and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. God had given Daniel this very special gift. They were all wise, but Daniel seemed to be the leader of the group and actually the wisest of the wise. And we know some things about him yesterday. But I want to say this about having friends who serve God. How important is it to you to have friends who serve God? How important is it to you to have friends who will stand with you? As a leader, I know that Pastor Ken and I can tell you that it's very, very important to have friends that will stand with you, friends who are loyal, friends that are not going to leave you, and that will stand with you, especially during a time of adversity. And we were sharing yesterday about how wonderful it is that we are a tribe. And I will say this, if I'm ever taken captive by the Babylonians or the Russians or whoever's coming in here, I just hope that I have at least three of you that are going to stand with me. I just hope that three of us are going to, that'll make four of us, and then there's Jesus, and we can get a group up that will stand with integrity and stand with honor, even if life takes those unexpected turns and we were carried off. And, you know, I've heard stories of people that were captured and in the days of when Hitler came in, and how having their family with them and being in captivity with someone else sustained them and helped them because they were able to encourage one another in the Lord. So many times they would give scriptures to each other and do those things because courage is contagious. Did you know that? Courage is contagious. That you can do it. Say, just where two or three are gathered, we are better together and we are stronger together. And I'm gonna read to you a verse here. I just want to read 19. And the king communed with them. As I continue this, he says, and he found that among them there were none other like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But when the word says the king communed with them, do you know that totally passed over me? I've studied that for years and thought he communicated with them. When the king communed with them. Anybody ever hear of communion? This word, the implication, according to theologians, is more than just he talked to them. They actually were in the king's service and were able to have a meal, they believe, with them. So there was fellowship, the communion of fellowship. They communed together. And that's how it says, he found that among them there were none other like them. He did his homework, this king. He did his homework. And verse 20 says, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he took time to test them and to see who they really are. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his whole realm. I'll bet you he asked them tough questions. And I'll bet you they were kind in his presence. I bet they were respectful to the king, even though they knew he's an idol worshiper. You don't go in to minister to someone and go, hey, you idol worshiper, who do you think you are? We serve God. Watch us. Watch us. You ain't taking us. That's not how they were. They were wise, the Bible says. And so they were probably loving and kind and personable. Maybe they made jokes at dinner. Respectful, very educated, and courageous. And they impressed the king. And that's how it's done. It's not done coming in like gangbusters. I can remember years ago, and Pastor Ken, I know, can remember this too, that when we were ministering our father and different ones, we would minister at the abortion clinics. And, you know, we're Christians. We're believers. We love Jesus. And so we love these women that are going to, they're going to terminate their pregnancies, and we love them. Now, there's other people standing out there, and they're Christians too, and here's what they were screaming. Baby killers! Baby killers! You're going in there, blood on your hands! There's blood on your hands! And I'm sure those young women were thinking, you have no idea what I'm going through. You don't even know my name. How dare you try to think you know everything about everything. You don't know my story, and what's more, you don't care. Guess what my dad used to do? My dad used to walk up to those women, and he would say, can I just talk to you for just a minute? I'm a grandpa. I'm a grandfather. Could I just talk to you as a grandfather just for a few minutes? And he would tell them, he would say, man, I wish I could be a grandfather to your baby. I know this must be hard because you're here today. And he would just be so kind and so loving. And he talked many young women out of an abortion. I myself was able to talk 3 young women out of terminating their pregnancies. It's just not, this is, so the king, he knew who they were. And they lived with integrity, starting with Daniel. And Daniel, history tells us that he was likely the oldest one of them, which I can kind of see that when you hear the whole story. But here's the thing about how could he find them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers? The Holy Spirit bears witness. And I want to say this. The guys that worked for the king, they were phonies. They were all phonies. They had nothing. They had nothing. They could not even do their job properly. Now, why would I say this? Well, first of all, they were supposed to be magicians and sorcerers, and they were supposed to be able to interpret dreams and visions and tell the future. That's what they were paid to do. They worked for the king. They were in under the king's employment. But when push came to shove, they could not interpret dreams. They were not magicians, not good magicians anyway. They were unqualified, and they failed miserably at their job, so they were phonies. And the king knew that Daniel and them had integrity. But these guys were on staff just in case the king might have a dream or might need something from them. And maybe they got by all those years by just making up dream interpretations. I don't know. But one day when the king had a very disturbing dream and he called for them, they had nothing. They had nothing. They were not able to do anything. And in chapter 2, it's the second year of King Nebuchadnezzar's reign we see. And he's a new king. He's kind of a newbie because it's still just year 2 here. First year, you've got your inauguration going on. And now this is your second year. And he cannot sleep at all. In fact, the Bible says he was troubled. But that word troubled is tormented in another translation. He was tormented. He couldn't sleep at all. And he was very, very afraid because he had begun to have these strange dreams. So the king commanded, not asked, invited. He commanded and for them to call all the musicians. I call them musicians every time. Magicians and astrologers and sorcerers and the Chaldeans, and come and show the king his dream. So they came and they stood before the king. So this was quite a group. It was a big group, in fact. I call them the dream team, supposedly. So he calls his dream team in, who has nothing, and the king says to them, the dream team, I dreamed a dream. Sounds logical. But my spirit is tormented and troubled, and I need to know my dream. I had a dream. It's a bad dream. I don't know what the dream was. All he could remember was that he was afraid in the dream, probably didn't want to have more dreams like that. And so before he could say anything else, the Chaldeans spoke up, and they said, then spoke the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. In other words, let's butter him up. Oh, it's all about you, king. O king, live forever. Tell us, your servants. We're your servants. You're our king. We love you. Tell us the dream, and we're going to show you the interpretation. It's just going to be super easy, king. This will be over in a few minutes. You tell us the dream. We tell you the interpretation. We will make up an interpretation for you. Okay, we're phonies. But there was a problem. You guys misunderstood the assignment. The king can't tell you the dream. He don't know the dream. You tell him the dream. That's pretty frightening, because that's an impossible thing to do. And that's where we're going to close tonight. We're going to ask our musicians to come up. Pastor Ken, you want to come up? But we're going to talk about the dream and who can interpret dream, who can do the dream. So,
thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.